Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
So I was having a wonderful nap this one day, and I was super comatose. I get up early, so I have to take an afternoon nap to get recharged. And I had a dream. And in the dream, I was being attacked by Medusa. Is anybody familiar with the Greek gods and goddesses? Anybody know who Medusa is? If you saw that hilarious movie, Clash of the Titans, you know she's one of the Titans, right? And she's got all the snakes coming around her face. And if you look at her, you turn to stone. Okay, that's the mythology or whatever. And so I know what that represents. And so I'm having this dream, and it's like a nightmare. And Medusa is coming after me, and she's saying my name, and she's hovering over me. And so as I have before in spiritual warfare dreams, I've got to cry out to Jesus. And so as loud as I possibly could, I screamed, "In the name of Jesus!" And then I realized I wasn't sleeping, and it was my wife. And she had on one of them peel masks, and she was trying to gently wake me up, and she was kind of leaning over like this, and she had taken a shower, and she had the towel wrapped around her head. And I freaked her out because I came up yelling, "Aah!" I thought she was Medusa. I'm not saying my wife looks like Medusa. Don't start texting Pastor Kimmy. Don't tell Pastor Daniel that I'm calling my wife Medusa. But that's what I thought I saw. And the kids were freaked out. They were downstairs. They came running upstairs. "What's going on?" Because I was so loud and demonstrative to rebuke the devil. I wasn't playing around. I just didn't know I was awake. I was confused. And so, you know, that story, just a fun story, and it's really funny every time I think about it. Kimmy and I were laughing about it earlier today. But it really makes you wonder if you've seen life correctly sometimes. And do you actually see what you think you're looking at? We're going to look at a story tonight, and I keep moving my glasses because I need new ones, and they haven't arrived yet. They're on the way, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for new glasses. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Lord, help us. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Numbers. And we're going to take a look at a conflict that we all face about interpreting what we see. And this is the angle I want to come at tonight. A familiar story, if you've been in church for you've been a part of church for some time. And maybe it might be a new story for you if you've never read this. And I'm going to help catch you up. So we're going to pick up on Numbers 13. And once you find that, Numbers 13, why don't you find that and why don't you stand and we're going to read together a few verses of scripture, because we have two different points of view here in conflict. And for us to read about it like this, it's easy for us to see what happens, but in our own life, we have the same conflict that happens all the time and we want to see what God's got to say about it tonight. Verse 26. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan." Verse 30, "Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report, about the land that they had explored. And they said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. And we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we looked the same to them. We'll read a little more in a moment. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. You're going to come speak to us today about the power of the report. And those that are facing challenging circumstances, may they be filled with faith at the preaching of this word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So they got a conflict of opinions here. Two different ways to look at the same thing. Just to kind of catch you up, if you're not familiar with what's happening here, it's the book of Numbers, and it's written by Moses about the journeys out of Egypt to the promised land. The children of Israel were following Moses. There's a couple of million people with all their animals, and they have experienced tremendous, amazing miracles that are famous in the Bible. When you think of miracles God did in the Old Testament, a lot of them you think of this story and all that they experienced. And catching up to where they are right now, they're on the edge of making it to where they've been seeking to go. They left Egypt looking for a land of milk and honey, promised by God, and they're on the edge of it. And the time has come for Moses, by the word of the Lord, God spoke to him to select some men, 12 men, one leader, one of the leaders of each tribe. And that's what you read about in the beginning of chapter 13. They select those men and they list them there. And Moses gives them an assignment to sneak in across the Jordan, sneak into the land that they're going to go take, that God promised them. And he gives them a checklist of what to look for. It's there kind of in the middle of chapter 13. And he tells them, go spy out the land. Go all over the place. Look for this. Look for that. Come back and give us a report from this. And we want to know what kind of land it is. And tell us about the people that are going there. And so then they return to give Moses a report. And that's where we find this conflicting opinion about what they saw. And so let's take a look at this report, and we're going to read a little bit more. Two reports and two outcomes. And I'll tell you a little bit about what happened to those that gave the report in a minute, and you might be familiar with it. And that's what God wants us to hear tonight. It's what I believe God wants us to hear tonight is the two reports and the two outcomes. And for us to choose, well, which kind of outcome do I want? And to reflect that same report. The first report, as you saw there in the verse 26, they came back and they said, yes, indeed, it is exactly as advertised, except, actually, there's a big word right there, a big three-letter word, but. And then they list all the reasons why it was frightening. They had the report of fear and doubt. They'd come all this way. They'd seen all that God had done. And then the time came for them to go look at the land. And they saw the challenges that were before them, the people that were there, the giants that were there, and their cities and their fortified walls. It struck fear inside them and doubt inside them. Even though they had seen God do astounding miracles, of the same kind, the same types of things. And yet they came back with this report. Something happened on the inside of them where they saw the challenges greater than the God that they serve. They saw their own size as a part of the equation, a part of their figuring out how is this going to work. Does anybody live like that? I wonder how this is going to work. I know you probably have days or situations like that. So do I, where you start calculating how are we going to move from point A to point B. And so we like to look at, you know, a lot of the pieces that go into it. And so these men are calculating, and all of a sudden they put themselves in the equation and said, we're really small. They mentioned what their own abilities could do. Nothing. Look at verse 31. The men who had gone up with them said, we can't attack. They are stronger than we are. And they spread a bad report. I do want to point out real quick the responsibility of leadership. Just kind of as a side note. They selected people of influence. So God in his strategy here, and just going to kind of fit this in, God in his strategy wanted Moses to select leaders from the tribe. Why would he do that? Because he wants them to spread a report. Leaders have what? Influence. Leaders have influence, and people follow their influence. So God wants and is selecting and has Moses select leaders to make the going into the promised land following their lead, following their influence, except they spread a bad report. They used their influence to spread a bad report. Yikes. And the nation followed their bad report, followed their influence. Yikes. They forgot what God had already done for them. What did God do for them? Well, if you're not familiar with the amazing story of their deliverance out of Egypt, here's some of the highlights. As they're leaving Egypt, they got to witness these incredible plagues, these horrific plagues that came upon Egypt, but they didn't come upon the people of Israel. They didn't come upon the land of Goshen. It's an incredible story as you read in early in the book of Exodus how these horrific things happened, and yet none of them came upon this area of land. Even it was dark in Egypt, but not dark in Goshen. It's an incredible display of God's ability. God parts the Red Sea. They all saw that. It's not a story that they heard from Grandpa. They were witnesses of what God had done at the Red Sea, splitting, and they walked across. They're the people. These are the same people that walked on dry land with the walls of water right next to them. It's the same people that stood in a dry place and watched water come out of a rock. Not a trickle of water. It didn't make a little pond and they all shared a teacup of water. Enough water came out of that rock for millions of people to have enough and their animals. Anybody ever gave animals to cows before? They drink a lot of water. They drink more than we do. The animals had to have drank more water than the people did. And yet coming out of this rock was enough water for all of them. They're the ones that drank the water. It's the same people. They were there at the battle, and these are the same people that fought in the battle with Moses lifting his hands and Aaron and Hur holding them up. And as long as he kept his hands up, they won and got the victory. If his arms got tired and he put them down, Israel would lose the battle. What an incredible story. They're those people. They built the tabernacle. They were there on the day the glory of God descended on the tabernacle, and no one could stand because of the glory of God that came upon it. They were standing there watching it happen. These are not stories that somebody told them. They didn't read it on a scroll and wonder if it was real. They saw it with their own eyes. And yet when they go into Canaan's land, fear and doubt is the report they come back with, because they inserted themselves as the solution. They inserted their own size compared to the size of the people there. You'll see in their report that they gave to Moses, there's no mention of the great God that they serve. No mention at all of the same God. If he did it once, he can do it again. What happened to them? They forgot what God had done. And this is their report. Remember, I shared with you, this is a conflict that each of us have. It's not just a story about these people. It's our story as well. Take a look at the next report. This is the exciting one. It's the Joshua and Caleb report. And if you're familiar with the story, you know where I'm headed with this, because their report is so different. Starting with, we read one piece of it. It's chapter 13, verse 30. It says, Caleb silenced the people. And he says, we should go up and take possession of the land. Come on, let's go do it. I'm not sure he sounded exactly like that, but I'm just kind of adding it in there because he's super zealous. He's so confident. We can do this. It's such a striking contrast to the other report that's kind of what I imagine. It's not just words on a page. There's some zeal here in Caleb, something different about him. Jump over to chapter 14. Let's take a look at Joshua's insert into this. The people of Israel all night long were weeping and crying out, we're going to die. Let's go back to Egypt. And then Moses and Aaron, we're picking up on verse 5. Moses and Aaron, chapter 14, verse 5. Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. And here we go. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone. I love that. But the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Wow, what a different report. These are the same people, the same two guys. They drank from the water. They walked down the, they saw all the same things. They saw the giants just like the other people. They saw the walled cities. They saw the fortifications. They looked at the exact same things. They helped carry the fruit out of the land for Moses to see. They didn't see a different land. They didn't see different giants. They saw something bigger and greater than anything else they saw, and that's the size of their God inserted into the equation of how are we going to do this? It's not up to us. It's up to the living God who brought us here. This is God's story. God's the one that did it before. He will do it again. That's their report. Two different ways to look at the same thing. It's kind of like me looking at Medusa. When I realized I was not asleep, the whole picture changed. And then I apologized to everyone for giving them traumatic things happening in their life. Love you, Pastor Kimmy. They saw the same challenges. They weren't ignoring the challenges. They weren't just saying, oh, there's really not giants there. That's not what they said. They didn't have a report of, no, there's really not walls around the cities. There's really not fortifications. They weren't trying to hoodwink everybody. They weren't trying to give a skewed false report to boost everybody's faith. See, to Joshua and Caleb, it didn't matter what was on the other side of that river. To Joshua and Caleb, it was no different than the other things God had done. This is no different. It's the same. It was impossible then. It'll be impossible coming up. But that doesn't change who God is. He's the God of the impossible. He's done the impossible before. We didn't do anything to part the Red Sea. Moses stretched out his staff. We didn't do anything. We didn't do anything to get water from the rock. It wasn't our own creativity to go, huh, I wonder if we go whap that rock, if water will come out. It wasn't their own strategy to get water from the rock. It wasn't the Israelites' strategy to rain quail down on everyone. They didn't do that. They didn't create that. God did. It was beyond their capacity to imagine how he would meet their need. I love these stories because it demonstrates God's delight to work in ways you didn't expect him to. We have preconceived notions on how God should answer our prayers, what it should look like, how he should do this. And when he doesn't, we're discouraged because he didn't go by our plan, because we are so wise and we are so intelligent and we can fathom all kinds of mysteries, Pastor Tim. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes I'm just blown away by myself and my ability to just how smart I am, and I know you are too. I know you look in the mirror and you go, wow. But we approach God in that way. Or maybe it's just me. So I'll just be super transparent. I pray, I'm looking for victory, I'm looking for God to intervene, and then I'm waiting for things I think I should see. But throughout these stories and in this incredible adventure of Moses and the Israelites, you see God's delight in not doing it the way they thought he should do, in doing it the way he thought that it should be done, and meeting their need and changing the scenario. Hello, who could imagine if Moses just keeps his hands up, we're going to win? Who could dream that up? Can you imagine Moses and the thing? All right, we're going to go out and win this battle here. And I got this great strategy. You guys are going to love this. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go up on that hillside right over there, and I'm going to lift my hands. And then you guys are going to go out there and just whack everybody down. And as long as I can keep my hands up right over there, what would you do if you were one of the generals? Run for your life. That's our strategy. Joshua and Caleb are full of faith. I love that. They proclaimed what God can do. They didn't proclaim what they could do. They proclaimed what God can do. They proclaimed what God could help them do. Same giants, same cities. They didn't know how God was going to do it. They didn't have God's strategy. All they knew is the same God had not changed. He's the same God. And they're counting on it. Anybody counting on God today? I am. I'm counting on God. I love it because I don't have to have it all figured out. Oh, thank God. I feel so much better just right now. I don't have to have it all figured out. And neither do you. God delights in doing the amazing for people that will simply hear him and obey in the face of giants. The doubters and fearful people wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. What a crazy turn of events. Take a look at chapter 14, verse 10. Look, but the whole assembly talked about stoning them. This is right after Joshua and Caleb saying, God can do it again. Come on, God can do this. Let's do it. He's the same God. Now they've moved from fearful and doubting to now they want to stone them for their faith. Yikes. One of the things you're going to find if you haven't found it already is not everybody's going to cheer for you when you want to take great steps of faith. You're going to have to take great steps of faith regardless of who cheers for you. And some of the people you were counting on may want to not treat you well because you're going to take steps of faith. If you're looking for people to approve your step of faith before you take it, you're never going to take steps of faith. Because you can just keep going down the list and you're going to find people that tell you that is a bad decision. Yeah. too many stories. I got lots of stories. I love to tell stories. Both saw the incredible miracles. Now we're going to talk about the outcomes. So which one are you? Are you the Joshua and Caleb people? You got scenarios? I know you're going to have scenarios. Everybody's going to have scenarios where it feels impossible. Feels like I can't do anything. It's out of my hands. Wow, this is too big. Wow, there's a giant city with walls. How am I going to get past those walls? Wow, look at the size of those people. We all have those. It's not just me. It's not just you. Everyone faces overwhelming circumstances. What we say about them brings about outcomes. Our words are powerful. Take a look at what happened to them. God decided, first of all, God comes down himself. God comes down to where these people are and speaks to Moses. And he tells them he's going to start a new nation through Moses. This is pretty extreme right here. God made a covenant with Abraham, and yet because of the way that they were filled with doubt and fear after all he had done for them, God comes down and he's so upset, he's so angry over their response that he's going to wipe them out and start all over. You don't find that very often happening in the Word, but you find it right here, and because their lack of faith was so aggravating to the great God who had done miracles for them. Does God get angry? Yeah, God gets angry. Moses, it's verse 12, 13, chapter 14, verse 10. I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they. Yikes. God's about to pass them by because they wouldn't believe him and what he's capable of doing. That hasn't changed. He still passes by people and looks for someone else that will believe him to do the impossible. Whenever you're going to step out and do things of faith, you're going to face opposition. Steps of faith invite opposition to oppose you. They invite the devil to get in your business. I'm going to step out in faith. They invite people that are going to disagree with you. Circumstances are not going to line up because you stepped out in faith. We don't let that tell us how big God is. And if you, and in this story, he's ready to step right over them, leave them in the dust, and go with someone else. And the same thing still is true today. People, God is still looking for people that will simply trust him, simply obey, and if he can't find it in you, he'll go to someone else. You don't want that to happen. Anybody want God to pass them by? Not me. I don't want God to pass me by. I don't want God to pass us by as a corporate body. We're heading into an incredible fall. It's going to be church growth. It's going to be fresh oil. This upcoming season, I don't want to miss God. I want to believe God all the way through every scenario and see what God can do through you and me. We've got a great goal. One of our great goals in the upcoming fall is 200 life groups. Did you know that not everybody's excited about 200 life groups? They're kind of like these folks that say, no way. God's going to pass them by and look for some people that are willing to say, oh, I know God can do that. Sign me up. I want to be a part of that miracle happening. That would be a miracle, Pastor Tammy. And God's going to use people willing to believe, oh, I'm all in. Put me all in. 200 life groups, make me number one and two. I'll do two. One season, I did four life groups. I'm not doing that one again. That was rough. Monday Night Football Life Group coming up. Yeah! I like the fall life groups. Where are we at? All right, so these people with the bad report, they got judged. They got judged. God comes down. Moses intercedes. And God judges them and tells them they're going to wander the desert for 40 years until the whole generation passes by and a new generation rises up to take their place. You might be familiar with the story, except two people got a different judgment. They got special long life and favor. It was the people of faith. It was Joshua and Caleb. God heard their report. God saw their report and said, those guys are going to get the extra. They got an extra long life. They got extra vigor. They got extra zeal. They got extra favor from the Lord because even though they were wandering with everyone, their report on that day set them up for the future 40 years from now. What an incredible thought that their response of faith in that one moment set them up to bypass all the judgment that came upon everyone. They watched everyone else die. The whole generation passed away. Those two were the only two. And they watched every one of those people that were full of fear and doubt pass away. And then the day came, and Caleb, as you might know the story, he's full of the same spirit and the same vigor and says, give me my mountain. My time has come. Wow, I want to be one of those people. I want to see in faith like they did. God speaking to us. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Number one, your promised land is going to have giants. You're going to have opposition. You'll always have challenges. Submitting your life to Christ doesn't remove all the challenges. You get new ones. That's all right, because in your corner is a God bigger than every challenge you're ever going to face. He's already bigger than every challenge. Number two, don't forget what God has done. Don't have spiritual Alzheimer's. We all do this. This is why it's part of the conflict that we all face, is because we are all capable of forgetting what God has done for us, just like those folks. It's one of the reasons in the Old Testament that God instituted the feasts and the celebrations and the memorials. Why would he do that? Why would he have these special times? So they would not forget what he had done for them. You can do the same thing. In my own family, we have practical ways that we remember what God has done for us. And I don't have time tonight to tell you all those, but we have regular traditions in our household to remind us what God has done for us. Number three, we must proclaim what God can do, not what we can do or can't do. What God can do. That's what Joshua and Caleb did. God will bring us into this land. God will give us this land. We will swallow them up if the Lord helps us. That was their report. Is that your report? Great question. And then lastly, if you take a look at chapter 14, verse, I don't remember. I'm going to find it real quick. Give me just a moment. Here we go. Chapter 14, verse 24. God's in the middle of passing judgment. He's giving judgment to everyone, both the unbelievers and the believers. And he says, verse 24, but because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. The last thing I just want to present to you, and then we're going to pray, because you might be facing some similar things in your life, and maybe you need some faith today. Maybe you've got some overwhelming circumstances or things that seem like there's no way that could ever happen. We serve the God of the no way that's ever going to happen. He's the God of the impossible. The last thing is, we must have a different spirit. We must be filled with faith. We must be filled with confidence in the living God. Joshua and Caleb gave a report of faith, but they didn't know what God was going to do. They didn't know how he was going to do it. They didn't know when he was going to act on their behalf. They did not know anything other than he can do it. And God looked at that and went, oh, that's what I'm looking for right there. Why don't you stand with me tonight? I don't know which part of this may have ministered to you. And I need somebody to play a beautiful song over here. But you might be facing something that's similar. And I want to pray with you. God wants to do the impossible. God can do the impossible. And remember, he delights in answering and meeting the need in an unusual, unexpected, unlooked for way. Why don't you bow your head tonight and let's take time to pray. I don't know what part of this may have spoken to you, but I want you right now even to just begin to, you could even just begin thanking God that in the midst of the scenario, he's already bigger than what you're facing. He's already capable of turning it. Father, I thank you that every scenario is smaller than you. There is no giant, no city, no fortification that changes who you are. What you've done before, you can do again. What you provided before, you can provide again. What you rescued before, you can rescue again. What you mended before, you can mend again. What you turned around before, you can turn around again. I don't know when you're going to do it. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm going to have a different spirit. I'm going to have faith in the living God. If you're facing scenarios, circumstance, and there's all kinds, let's pray together. Why don't you step out from where you are? Maybe you're facing something overwhelming. Just come right up here. We're going to take time to pray together. We're going to proclaim together, God can. God can. I don't see it. I don't know how. I don't know when. But God can. I don't know what scenario it might be. They're all different. They're not all the same. But it's the same God. If you're facing an overwhelming scenario, just make your way up here and begin to proclaim Joshua and Caleb's proclamation. Right out loud. Lift your hands and begin to proclaim, God, you can. God, nothing's impossible with you. Your feelings might not like it. Your logic might not like it. Your rational thinking in your brain that likes to calculate things, it might not like it because it doesn't make sense and you don't see the outcome. But he is able. Lord, I pray over every one of these circumstances. Some physical, some finance, some family. Some need miracle turnaround. Some need miracle wisdom. Some need a child to come home. Some need a mending in the home. Some need a breakthrough financial miracle. Tonight, some of them need you, God, even right now, to move in whatever way you choose. I proclaim and I release faith. The faith of Joshua and Caleb in their life. Be filled with faith. Be filled with faith. Be filled with confidence. Pastors, ministers, can we quickly just go down through there very quickly, touch and agree, and release faith. Be filled with faith. Not logic faith, but the faith of Joshua and Caleb. The faith that God looks and releases favor for. Be filled with faith. Be filled with confidence. Confidence in things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen yet. God, you can. God, you can. You can bring deliverance. You can bring turnaround. You can bring freedom. You can bring rescue. You can bring finance. You can bring wisdom. You can bring strategy. You can turn any situation upside down. We believe you. We believe you that you can. We proclaim there's no giant and no city bigger than our God. Your promises are yes and amen. You're working in a way I can't see. You're doing more than I can see that you're doing. You're working in ways that I would never understand. You are beyond my comprehension. You're beyond my ability to fathom. You're greater than my greatest wisdom could ever comprehend. My greatest intellect cannot fathom you. You see the end of a matter before it begins. You live outside time and space. You unroll time like a scroll. You can make things happen in a moment. You can bring an overnight turn of events. You can bring a moment financial release. You can eradicate debt. You can change scenarios. You can change the times and the seasons. You held the sun in place and refused it to move. So the battle, to give a word, God, you brought about victory from unusual scenarios. You brought provision from the most unusual places. You can do it again. What you did for them, you can do it again. You can move mountains. You can part seas. I release faith. I release faith tonight. Be filled with faith. Be filled with confidence. Be filled with assurance in the living God and what He can do. We release that tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Be filled with faith. God can do it. In Jesus' name. If you need to get right with God, don't let this evening together, this worship time together, don't let it pass without making sure you're right with God. Don't leave this place without being at peace with God on the inside. I don't mean you did your religious observations and motions. I mean on the inside that you know your sins are forgiven and you know that Jesus is your Lord. Don't leave this place without making Him the Lord of your life. Those of you that are online, the same goes for you. Don't turn the stream off without making Jesus the Lord of your life. Time is short. You're not guaranteed another day. None of us are. If you know how to tell the times and seasons, you realize time is short. Jesus is coming back to this place to take to heaven all those that are looking for Him. Are you looking? Is your heart ready for Him to return? I'm going to take a moment to pray tonight. And if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord, or maybe you're just not sure and you want to make sure you're right with God, I want to help you. I want to lead you in a time of prayer. Would you bow your head with me tonight? And as we're closing our time out, we never have a service together, well, almost never, without giving every person an opportunity to get right with God. So whether you'd like to come to Jesus for the first time or you want to make a recommitment, you want to come back, or you just want to make sure, would you pray with me tonight? Let's all pray. And it's an invitation prayer of making Jesus. It's repenting of sin and inviting Jesus to be your Lord, according to Romans 10. Let's do that together. Why don't you pray right out loud with me? Say, Heavenly Father, I believe you sent Jesus to take my place, to die on the cross for my sin, and to rise from the dead, to give me eternal life. I repent of sin. I turn away from sin, and I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I'm going to serve you from this moment on. Thank you for loving me and hearing my prayer. Why don't you lift your hands? I'm going to pray for you right where you are. Father, I thank you, Lord, that tonight, with a genuine prayer, there were people repenting of their sin, inviting you to be the Lord of their life. And I pray that new life come upon them in a profound way. I pray you fill them with power. Fill them with your Spirit. May their thinking and their perceptions forever change from this moment. May they be marked and remember this moment that they surrendered to you. Those that are online that surrendered to you, I pray, God, that you would give them that new heart, that new mind, the mind of Christ, begin to working in their life. Begin to bring about a new nature, new way of thinking, new way of seeing. May even tonight their sleep be different because Jesus is the Lord of their heart and their life. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap tonight.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.